verse 1. Today I'm going to do verse 2. And some of the things that just a blessing. This psalm is just a blessing. So let's go back there. Let me read you the first two verses tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that a blessing to know that he's our shepherd? Notice what he said in verse 2. This is what I want to talk about. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Actually, I'm really only going to focus on that first phrase. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, last week I said he is my good shepherd, he is my great shepherd, and he is our chief shepherd. And we mentioned that he delivers us from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. And one of these days, praise the Lord, he's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. And then it says, I shall not want. Because he meets all of my needs. I shall not want. And then it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, there's three words that you can emphasize in verse 2. He maketh me. But where should the emphasis always be when you read this particular psalm? It's on who? It's on the shepherd. It's on the shepherd. It's not on the sheep. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The emphasis is on the he. The emphasis is on the shepherd. Now, when we think of lying down, and we read Hebrews chapter 4, what do we think of? When you lay down, what are you doing? Resting. And we read, how many of you got the word rest multiple times when we read Hebrews 4? Good, I'm glad some of you did anyway. But that's what you read about. Now, this is not the proper time to rest. I just thought I might throw that out there. But even if you say, I'm tired from a long day, well, don't rest right now. But when we think of lying down, we think of rest. And he is our Lord, and the shepherd, our shepherd, desires that we rest. Now, our spirits cry out for the rest that only the shepherd can provide. I think I was telling Pablo and Ingrid this earlier. I got a text today from a guy that went with us to that meeting we went to in Rochester. And he's very concerned about some of these things. And he started putting applications out in other states. He says, I just want to be ready in case this passes, that I might leave the state. Well, not everybody can leave New York State. I don't know if that's true or not, but I suppose everybody could, but eventually. Somebody needs to stand back and fight for something once in a while. And so I guess that's what I decided I'm going to do, at least for a while anyway, until I can't take it anymore. I don't want to pretend I'm living in the tribulation period, okay? I don't plan on being around for that, but I think it can get bad. And our governor, if you go to bed at night with him on your mind, you're not going to have any rest. But if you go to bed at night with the shepherd on your mind, amen, then you can have rest. So our spirits cry out for the rest that only our shepherd can provide. And he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now the word maketh speaks of yielding to the shepherd's desire for all of our lives. He desires to lead us to the green pastures. The shepherd provides for us green pastures, and the sheep are to yield to his placing them in that green pasture. They're not supposed to wander off to some other pasture. They're there. Now look at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, he said, I will give you rest. And then he said, ye shall find rest. There are different kinds of rest for the child of God. The first one is obvious. It's the rest of salvation. We find rest when we no longer are wrestling and we are no longer the enemies of God, and when we have been brought to him by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, and we're saved and we know it, listen, all those who are not Christians, you know they are enemies of the cross. They're enemies. Unreconciled to God. Now that situation can be reversed for everybody, but it won't be reversed for everybody. Unreconciled to God. Jesus went to Calvary, where he bled and died for our sins, and he paid our sin debt that God demanded, and he did that. When I ask God to forgive me of my sin, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, my salvation is sure, and I rest in that. It is settled forever. God the Father imputed the righteousness of Christ to my heavenly record, and now I am sealed, according to Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 4, I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I can rest because my soul salvation is in Jesus Christ. And for this, I don't work at all. It's a gift of God. He did all the work on the cross. I simply trust him. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have the rest of salvation, but then there is the rest of heaven. Now let's look at John 14. There are two songs that I sang to myself over and over today in my car. There's two places that are blessed places to sing, the car and the shower. You know, but the car works well. But they were both about heaven. And one is a song of a story of an old man who was talking to a young guy, and he says, I'm just thinking about home, and heaven is his home. And he said, all my family's over there already anyway, so I might as well go home. Then the other one was just about when we meet Jesus, when we see Jesus for the first time. You know, you wonder what that'll be like. You know that? I think we're just going to bow before him. I don't even know that we're going to be able to speak. I mean, so those songs kept going over my mind. But I had read this earlier, yesterday and this morning, and it said this: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's he say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Down in verse 4, Thomas said this: Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heaven is my home, and I'm as sure of it as like I'm already there. Now I want you to take your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34. So there's the rest of salvation, there's the rest of heaven, and then this one, there's the rest of our faith. I got to get there, I'm only in chapter 32. There's the rest of our faith. Now in this one, it is something we do. We find this rest, the rest of our faith, as we yield to the Savior. I got a sticky page here. I don't know if I can get it unstickied. I guess I don't need to anyway. Anyway, as we find this rest as we yield to him, we follow him to where he places us. In Psalm 23 and verse 2, where did it say he placed us? In green pastures. So Ezekiel 34 has to do with the restoration of Israel and God's provision for them. But look what it says in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, according to John 10, we are his sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that it is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark days. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their feed be. There shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And of course, that has to do with God's provision for Israel. But it sounds an awful like Psalm 23, verse 2, doesn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We are to yield to him, and that is the key to being at rest with God. God, I'm yielded to you. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. I'm just going to live by faith. And when I do that, God gives me rest. There is a rest for the people of God. We must keep our eyes on the shepherd, and we cannot keep our eyes on other sheep. Now, sometimes you can avoid keeping your eyes on other sheep from time to time, but that's not where your main focus needs to be. Your main focus needs to be on the shepherd. And if we are to have rest, we need, it will come through the shepherd. So Psalm 23 said, I shall not want because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And for the sheep to lie down and for the sheep to rest, the shepherd has got to provide certain things for us. Now, remember the Bible says that there is a rest for the people of God. So just for giggles, I decided to look up the word rest in my Vines Greek dictionary is what it is. And then also in my 1828 Webster's dictionary. And here's what you say, we all know what rest means, but I like to look them up anyway. It says rest, to cease, to be quiet, to cease from labor. That's heaven's rest. To not be agitated by fear. Do you know anybody who struggles with fear? You know they're not resting in the Lord. But that's if we have the rest of God, we don't fear. We're not agitated. We rest our cause on the support of the scriptures to calm us down. There is a rest for the people of God. So what do the shepherds do for the sheep as far as this rest is concerned? Well, first of all, the fears of the sheep are dealt with by the shepherd. So the shepherd takes the sheep. He takes them out in the green pastures. They're all, you know, at peace and at ease and quiet. And so they lay down in the green pasture. And the shepherd deals with fears of the sheep so the sheep can rest. Now, what might a sheep fear? Well, animals, prey animals that might prey on them or something. But because the shepherd's there, the sheep don't fear. They feel safe and secure. Sheep are easily frightened. Almost all wild animals are easily frightened. I was hunting one day, and I was going to sit on a bucket, so I carried a bucket with me. And it was a white bucket because it was snow on the ground. But it did have some lettering on it. So I sat it down on the ground. I said, I don't think I'll sit on it. But I changed my mind. But I left it where I figured the deer would be coming through. This deer came out, and it got about 30 yards from this white bucket, and it froze. And it starts walking backwards. I start laughing at the stupid thing. And it's like, it was a white bucket in the snow. It even looked like the snow to me, but he knew it was out of place. And that thing turned and ran out of there. I mean, they're always on high alert. About every animal. If you go in the woods, even a coyote. A coyote is more afraid of you than you are of it. Now, you don't believe that, but it is true. But sheep are no different. They are easily frightened. The thing that the shepherd provides to relieve the fear of his sheep is, what do you think it is? It's his presence. That's all it is. The presence of the shepherd. Sheep are frightened, but the presence of the shepherd makes them have rest. We all get troubled. The fear of the sheep are not relieved by the absence of danger. They fear even if they anticipate danger. You know what we call that in human life? Worry. We fear even if we anticipate danger, but most things we worry about never happen. But by the presence of the shepherd, there is peace. The Lord Jesus, who is our great shepherd, he comes to our side. In his abiding presence, no matter what's going on around us, you know what he gives us? He gives us rest. Even in the presence of danger. And when he gives us rest, you know what that brings? That brings peace. And when we know the shepherd is present, we can rest from our fears. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus. And while Jesus ministered on earth, he proved his power over disease because he healed the sick. He proved his power over demons because he cast them out. And he proved his power over the devil because he defeated him and the temptation of Satan. And the Lord defeated him. He's a defeated foe, we say. On Calvary, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he defeated the devil. And in Revelation, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. We need to rest from our fears. What do you fear? What do I fear? Do I fear a person? Do I fear a circumstance? Do I fear my weaknesses? But if you rest in the presence of the shepherd, you'll find rest. Fears aren't defeated by removing all things out of your life. Fears are defeated by the presence of the shepherd. How often is our shepherd present? Always present. We can't rest until our fears are calmed. So praise the Lord, the shepherd deals with the fears of the sheep. He also deals with the friction of the sheep. Now, what do sheep do? They butt each other with their heads. They use their horns or whatever. When one sheep starts butting another sheep, you know what it causes? It causes uneasiness among the whole flock. Because this one sheep that's doing the head button, he kind of thinks he's in charge. Kind of like a church, you know? As the flock gets jitters and friction builds, they can't rest. That's kind of like true in a home as well. And when the shepherd shows up, you know what happens to the sheep? The butting of the head stops. They know the shepherd is in charge. Among God's flock, from time to time, there is friction. And until it's dealt with, we can't rest. And sometimes people walk, well, I just don't like the way they treated my son or they treated my daughter. And I don't like the way they looked at me. And I've even heard a couple people say, I think pastor's mad at me. Why's that? Well, he didn't shake my hand this morning. Really? I probably don't shake over 25% of the people's hands here on any given Sunday, maybe on any given service. What am I going to do? Stand there and shake hands with everybody, not say a word to anybody? Good day, good day, good day. No, I'm not mad at somebody because I didn't shake their hand. One guy told his wife that before, and then he said, that one other guy said, it might have been the same guy, he said, Pastor didn't even look at me today. He must not, you think he's mad at me? No, I'm not mad at him. I don't know where people come up with that stuff, but you know, the shepherd, he's got to tend to the flock. And then he's, well, I don't like what he said here. But when we abide in the presence of the shepherd, you know what happens? The friction stops. You see, our biggest problem is we don't spend enough time abiding in the presence of the shepherd. If we leave Christ out, we can find reason to be irritated with somebody. We can criticize somebody. We can be upset with the pastor or a teacher or a program or a family member. There can be friction. We've done a couple things in our church that not everybody was a fan of. She's in heaven now, but Mrs. Miller, Grace's mom. Remember we had fun day here and all the teenagers were running all the games and we gave out all the preaching tapes that these guys made back there. They were gone. We didn't make enough. They were just, everybody was taking a preaching tape. They never came to church. I can't figure it out. But anyway, so they were all gone. We took them through the soul winning tent. Mrs. Gann had set all that thing up. We used it as a tool to witness to people. That's all we used it for, was a tool. And our kids had a good time serving everybody. But boy, Mrs. Miller wasn't a fan of that thing. I mean, she told me more than once she came. Did she ever tell you? Did she? She came right into my office, Pastor. I just want to tell you what I think about this carnival you're having out here. I said, go ahead. I forget, what was her? Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy. I'm listening. Well, she let me have it, you know, and all this stuff. I said, that's nice. Whatever. But it was just a tool to try to get the gospel to people. She couldn't see it. So there was a little friction there. After she vented for a while, she got over it, and I guess that was the end of it. But, you know, she didn't quit church or anything like that. But we got to deal with our fears and our frictions alike, not by making everybody or everything perfect, because you're never going to make everybody or everything perfect, but by living consciously in the presence of the shepherd. Thirdly, the sheep need from their shepherd is what? Why is he taking them to the pasture in the first place? Food. They need food. He provides nourishment for us in green pastures. Now, if you go to the Middle East, Matt, you've been in Israel. There's a lot of places where you drive around the Middle East and you're like, this does not like look like a land that flows with milk and honey. I mean, there's rocks and rocks and more rocks. But boy, sometimes when you come over a mountain and you look down into these valleys, and they are just lush. But if you drive around certain places, you come across all these Bedouin people up in the mountains in the dirt somewhere, but they got sheep up there. I thought this when we're driving through on our bus. Where is he going to take this animal to get some food? Well, you know what the shepherd knew? Evidently, the shepherd knew where to find the food. He knew where to take them. Now, he provides the nourishment for us in green pastures. There are places where you don't see the green pastures, but it is the shepherd who finds the location where the proper plants can be found, and the shepherd needs to feed the sheep. You know what our food is? It's sitting right on your lap. It's the Word of God. Jesus has provided the green pasture in which we graze. If your spirit is starving, it's not the shepherd's fault. If the shepherd leads you to green pastures, or he leads the sheep to green pastures, and the sheep don't eat, that's not the shepherd's fault. That's on the sheep. If your spirit is starving, it's not God's fault. We need to graze there in the green pasture. So the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." And the shepherd deals with our fears, and he deals with our frictions, and he deals with the need that we have for food. And because he does that, we can find sweet rest in the presence of our shepherd. Now go back to the very first phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. I will say this. When I'm done with this psalm, I hope you just, that's locked in. The Lord is my shepherd. Father in heaven, we are grateful this evening for your word. Thank you that you lead us beside the still waters. And thank you, Lord, that you lead us to the green pastures. You feed us. You give us rest. Your word in that passage that we started with there in Hebrews 4. We read the word rest several times. There is a rest for the people of God. There's a rest of faith. There's a rest that we have in our salvation. And there is heaven's rest that one day we look forward to. But until then, we're to have rest. We're to rest in you because we find ourselves constantly in the presence of Jesus, our shepherd. And I pray that that would be true. I pray that we would more and more and more and more try to be in the presence of the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a few missionary letters.